right. You know, every pastor says that there's a few things that you that when you preach on, you just kind of keep your box packed in your office because you never know how it's going to go. A couple things. One is giving, right? When bringing up money and giving to church, that's one of those things you just, you got to be careful. Wear your armor to church that morning. And the other one is this great passage in Ephesians chapter 5 that begins with the words, wives, submit. I got my flak jacket. We're ready. Yeah. All right. So here's the deal. I had a heard the story of a guy that was, well, we know that men are passive. Let's admit it. Much to our, I'm not sure the right word to use here, shame, frankly, a lot of men are pretty passive, okay? And this passive guy was married to a woman who was, well, she made up for his passiveness, if you know what I mean. Let's try to be polite here, right? And it was just, he was just feeling kind of bad about this because he felt like there was really nothing he could do. He knew that he was passive, but he wanted to fix it. And he wasn't sure what to do, so he goes to this Christian counselor, right? And the Christian counselor pulls him up in Ephesians and says, look, dude, here's what the Bible says. You need to go home. This is what you need to tell your wife. So he's like, okay, I can do this, right? So he kind of sucks it up, puts his big boys on, so to speak, and he's going down here. He's going to talk to his wife. So he gets home. And he says, look, honey. He said, look, here's what the Bible says. This is the way it's going to be. He said, I'm getting ready to go out for guys to hang out with the guys tonight. We're going to go down. We're going to go bowling, all right? I'm going to hang out with the guys. Before I go, you're going to make my supper. I'm going to enjoy it. You're going to do the dishes. When I come back, okay, you and I, we're going to go dancing tonight, which I know is a Baptist church, but dancing is okay as long as it's with your wife and your husband, all right? And he said, you're going to have my clothes laid out. And when I get home, you're going to put on my cufflinks. You're going to put on my bow tie. That's what you're going to do because that's what's going to happen. And if you look at me and you say, I'm not going to do it, I said, no, you are. Because who else is going to put on my cufflinks and my bow tie? And she looked at him and said, the Undertaker. Words of wisdom right there, all right? Well, this isn't going to be one of those messages, okay? But this is something that's in the scriptures. But you know what? I have heard this thing twisted so many times, I've got to be honest with you. And I want us to have a good perspective on what the Bible's actually saying here. And so as we dive into this whole idea of womanhood, what does it mean to be a woman? What does it mean to not just be a woman, to be a wife? I think when we get into this passage, it's going to be wise for us to examine this even further. We're continuing in our series on Ephesians. We're in sermon number 16, but we're getting close. We're to the end of chapter 5, almost, all right? We're going to be talking this week about wives and their role, next week about men and their role. And there may be some things that might surprise you a little bit. Some things that might be a little bit different than what you've ever heard, but that's okay. There's an outline there you can follow along with, fill in the blank. There's a lot of writing in there. But we're going to go through this, and I think it's going to be good for you. I think it's going to be helpful for you. Some of this information for the men who's been in our Bible study, this may be a repeat for some of you, because we've been talking about this. We've been talking for those whose wives, you know, your men go to the Bible study. Hopefully you've been aware that we're talking about these things in our Bible study, learning, hey, you know what? Marriage is important to God. And how we treat our wives is even more important. And it's also the same how wives treat their husband is also important. But we're going to dive in. We're going to back up even today. I've got the sermon title is The High Value of Womanhood. And we're going to be looking at this idea. It said God gives women a very important role on this earth. And that is the role of a helper. That's a woman's primary role, is the role of a helper. In fact, the persons of the Trinity are the only other ones with this role. In this sermon, we're going to look at Ephesians 5 and how this high value role of a woman carries over then to the life of a wife. God, we're coming to you today. We're studying your word. We're asking for wisdom. We just got done singing how great you are, and as we look at the creation around us, we see just again how great you are as our creator. And you created man, and you created woman, and you created us different, but you created us that way so that we can become one. And Father, today as we look at this passage, I pray you give us wisdom. Help us. Help us as we try to apply this to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's dive in. We're going to begin at the very beginning. All right, in Genesis chapter 2, the very beginning is what we're going to be looking at today. All right, Genesis chapter 2, we're going to start out in Genesis 2. We're going to end up in Ephesians. But Genesis 2, verses 18 through 22. If you want to follow along, there's some pew Bibles there underneath the chairs. You can follow along if you want to. Grab one of those. The outline says what page number it is. If you don't, it's like page 2. So I think I can count that high. Anyway, in Genesis chapter 2, We're going to be down in verse 18. We're reading out of the ESV this morning. It says this: Then the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up his place with flesh. The rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. You know, there was this, you learned this story in Sunday school, how Adam and Eve are created out of the ribs. Reminds me of the young boy who went to his mom and said, My side hurts, I think God's making a woman. Sorry. I should have resisted that, but. We're going to keep you on your toes today, people, all right? You got to track along with me a little bit. So in Genesis, though, we discover this role of a woman, and that role is a helper. That is the primary role of a woman. God designed a woman to be a helper. And for those of you who are women, you understand that. And for us as men, this makes sense to us, because what's a woman do? She's constantly, she comes to her house and she's straightening stuff up. She goes to her neighbor's house and she's straightening stuff up, right? This is what women do. Those who live next to Grandma Anderson, for example, you know, right? Grandma Anderson, she owns the neighborhood. I need to move because she'll do laundry, all right? She's a great person. We have these women that have the role. They want to help. It's ingrained within them is this desire to be a helper, because that's how God made them. God made women as a helper. Genesis chapter 2, verse 20, the man gave names to all livestock, to the birds of the heavens, and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. Now, underlying that, of course, is men, we need help. Right? Okay, we understand that. But God has made a helper for us. The primary role of a woman is a helper. Now, the second role, all right, well, let's look first at this. Who else are called helpers in the Bible? And this is interesting. We're not going to look these up for the sake of time, but God the Father, in Psalm 46, 1, 121, verse 2, and there's several other passages I didn't list, God the Father is called our help. He's our helper. God the Son, Psalm 72, 12, Hebrews 4, 15 through 16, is called our helper. God the Holy Spirit, John 14, 26, is called our helper. The only four people in the scriptures called helpers, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and women. You guys are in high company. Truly, you are. And men, we cannot belittle in that position. Helping is a very important role, and that is the role, that's how God made women, to be a helper. That's what they want to do. They want to help us as men, because they see that, frankly, we need help, all right? Let's admit it, we do, and that's how God made them. So, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 20, we see that evidence of God making women as a helper. So, the role, and the number two role is a wife. We also see that in Genesis chapter 2. The man and his wife, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, also known as helper, and they shall become one flesh. There it is. A man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. So, we have the primary role is that of a woman. The secondary role is that of a wife, okay? So understand that all of you women are women, okay? Not all of you are wives. The wife is a secondary role, but within the role of a wife, you are still filling the primary role, and that is being a helper, okay? And here's my opinion. A woman could be a great helper without being a wife. However, a woman cannot be a great wife without being a helper. And oftentimes, men, this falls on us, because we, for whatever reason, will say we don't want their help, or we belittle their ability to do whatever it is we need, and so we put them down, we try to put them in a little shoebox, and we don't allow them to fulfill the role that God has created for them. And what do? We have a great woman that God's given us, but we're not valuing the role that God designed her to do, to perform, which is to help us. And a woman who's a great wife is a woman who feels like she has a role to fill, a significant role to fill in the life of her husband. That is the role of a wife, is to be a helper. That's what we want. Proverbs 31 says this: Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. That whole passage on Proverbs 31, you know, we call it the Proverbs 31 woman. And it is the Proverbs 31 woman. It's interesting, the Hebrew words that are used there are, based on the context, translated either woman or translated wife. It's the same word. And the whole of Proverbs 31. So you could go through that passage and you could see how a woman, right, how a woman can do all these things that a wife does and be just as praising, as praiseworthy as a woman who does those things with a husband. A woman without a husband is just as praiseworthy as a woman with a husband. Both of them can fill the same role. Both of them can be helpers. That's the value that God places on womanhood. So what does this mean then for us as wives? It's for us as wives. I say us, okay? Obviously, I'm not a wife. But we're going to roll into this. And Ephesians chapter 5, 22 says this. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and his himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. And let the, in verse 33, jumps down, and says, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Now, I use the word response for a reason here. A wife's response as a helper. Let's look at these words again. Submit, submit, and respect. We're going to set the ground here. The submit in the Greek, these are passive. Greek has a passive voice, all right? So it's passive, meaning this is something that a wife, that is a response to something. When I'm standing out in the rain, I am not turning the rain on and off and getting wet. I'm not forcing myself to get wet. When I turn in the rain, I get wet because the rain is falling on me, right? A wife submits because of the things that are happening to her. It's not something that she just chooses to do. The scriptures isn't saying that this is an active role for you. As a wife, you are forced to do this. No, it's a response to something. And what is it a response to? And I'm going to suggest two things as a response to. One, it's a response to her recognizing her role as a helper. Okay? Understanding that I'm here to help, and so I empower my husband to go and do something. I'm helping him, and so I'm submitting to that. And the other thing is that she's responding to the man as a leader. Both of them are equally important, because if a woman doesn't trust her man, she's going to have a hard time being submissive to that man. So, guys, if you're in a marriage and you think, my wife isn't submitting to me, you better ask yourself, am I the type of guy she can submit to? Because it's not something that you can force. It's something that's a response. When you hit your knee with a hammer, the leg twitches up, right? Involuntary response. That's what this is. We as men have to create an atmosphere in our marriage where our wives will respond the way that God has created them. All right? So, the wife's response, she submits, she respects. That's the responses that we have here, submission and respect. Going back to the respect thing, respect is in the middle voice in Greek, which means this. It's something that she does for her own benefit. And wives are going to talk about that in just a minute, how when you respect your husband, there's a huge benefit that comes your way for that. They don't do it for their husbands, they do it for their own benefit. All right, so there's some applications from that. All right, moving on. When we're going to look at this word submission for just a minute, Robert Lewis and William Hendricks wrote this book called Rocking the Roles. We suggest it to all our married couples, premarital counseling, we have them go through this book. It's such a great book. So if you're looking for something on this, read this book, Rocking the Roles. And he does this great job in helping us understand what submission really means. Okay? Understand this first, is that submission is not the role of a wife. A wife's role is to what? Be a helper. Okay, so understand, guys, your wife is not created to submit to you. She's created to help. Big difference. Very big difference. So understand that. God has first created her as a helper, and if you are not giving her a place where she can help you in a meaningful way, then you have no right to complain about her submission. None whatsoever, because first, she's created as a helper. Within that role, of course, is this submission that comes in, and submission sometimes is helping. You think, well, how is that possible? Well, let's dive into that. Let's look at this. Submission does not mean being an enabler of wrongdoing. It is an empowering of right doing. And you hear stories about men who's, you know what? If I want to go to the bar and get drunk every Saturday night, you're my wife and you're supposed to submit to me. And I say heresy. I say baloney. I say you're full of stuff. Okay? Because a wife never enables wrongdoing biblically. She is not to enable wrongdoing. If you're doing something that needs called out, she, as the role of a helper, has every right to call you out on sinful behavior. Whether you like it or not, that is her role of a helper. She has every right to do that. Within that, she empowers you to do what's right. So those moments when you're choosing to do right, she empowers you and she comes along and she encourages you to do that. That's what a woman does as a helper. She does not enable you to do wrong as men. She empowers you to do what's right. Submission does not mean being a yes person. It does not mean that everything you want, guys, you get. That is not what submission is. It does not mean that. Submission does not mean your wife is going to be a yes person. She has her own opinions, and they are valid opinions. She may have a direction that she thinks may be good to go as well. The two of you come together. She does not have to give in just because you're the man. Again, does she trust your leadership? Does she? Because if you're the type of man that she trusts your leadership, then it's going to be a lot easier to have these conversations. Submission does not mean she's going to agree with everything that you say. That is not what submission is. Submission is not for a man to demand, it's for a woman to give. And that's the other thing. Remember that passive voice? Men, we cannot demand this from our wives. Biblically, we have no foundation to stand on if we demand submission from our wives. You have none. The only thing you can say from your wife is, hey, God made you as a helper. Can you help me out here a little bit? And she's like, I'm doing that, and you're not listening. Okay? We have those moments, right? The only thing that God created them for that you can demand is the role of a helper. Everything else is something that they do or they respond to. So understand that the submission is not for a man to demand, it's for a woman to give. So no man should ever demand submission from any woman. You have no right to do that. Submission is recognizing your husband's biblical headship, which is his role, by the way, and empowering him to accomplish his role. Let's admit it, men, scripturally, in Ephesians, we're looking at men's role next week, men are designed by God to be the head, to be the leader. And women, as hard as it is, you must recognize that. Biblically, you must recognize that. You must understand, okay, you know what? The man is the biblical leader. But men, you must be the biblical leader. Not just the leader, but the biblical leader. Because there are men who are definitely the leader, but they're not doing it God's way. And men, we need to do it God's way. All right? But a woman, when she comes alongside and she sees a man who's doing biblical leadership, what she does, she wants to empower that. She wants to. And guys, a woman's going to respond when she sees us as men leading correctly. Now, when you hear the word lead, what do you think of? You're not the guy behind pushing. You're the guy behind saying, come with me. So if your wife isn't where she should be, I'm going to ask, are you where you should be? Are you trying to bring her along as well? Or are you behind pushing her? Men, we must lead. Are we willing to do that in a biblical way so that our wives, in a biblical way, can do what they're supposed to do, fulfill their role? Let's look at this word respect. So again, going back to that, respect, same thing as being submissive. It's not the role of a helper. The role of a helper is what women has. Respect is not the role of a wife. A wife's role is to be a helper. Respecting, though, is helping. It helps them accomplish that role. So let's break this down for just a minute. What does this mean? Well, again, respect cannot be demanded. It's in the middle voice. It's something that a woman does for her own benefit. Something she does for her own benefit. And there's a huge benefit to showing your man a little respect, okay? And we're going to talk about this here, but there's a huge benefit of that. Respect is not earned, it is given. Now, this is interesting because how many times have you heard that? Well, I'll respect you when you earn it. Well, that's really not what the scriptures teach, okay? And we're going to go to Ephesians 5 there. Next week we're going to look at this, how husbands are supposed to love. Now, wives, what are you going to do if you say, you know what? If the husband comes to you, your husband says, I will love you when you earn my love. How's that going to make you feel? What's that Hebrew word we talked about? Right? That's how it's going to make you feel. And so, wives, is it possible, the same thing, when you go to your husband and say, I will respect you when you earn my respect? Absolutely. It's something that you are commanded. This is something that you do for your benefit, but it's something that you do, okay? So that is something that God commands from you. Now, that's between you and God, but it's something that God commands from you. It's not a matter of your husband earning respect. It's a matter of you giving respect, again, for your benefit, but it's something we're commanded to do. Respect empowers your husband to fulfill his role as a leader. Men want to be empowered. They do. Men want to be empowered. They want their wife to look at them and say, ooh la la, right? If you're sitting next to your husband right now, if you're sitting next to your husband, okay, I want you to grab hold of the closest arm on your husband, okay? Grab his arm. Right at the bicep, grab his arm. I want you to give a little squeeze, and I want you to just give your husband that grin. Okay? Come on, guys, you can do this. Come on, you can do this. This is awesome. 90% of guys in the sanctuary just flexed. Right? They did. They just went, oh, yeah, baby. You know what I got, right? 90% of men just did that. Why? Because what their wife, that's a simple example how a wife can empower her husband to show strength. That's a physical strength, but she can also empower her husband to show strength in a spiritual way as well. That's just a simple example. Men just, their wives come along and they can just really inflate them in a huge way and make them respond in a huge way with power. That's how men work. All right? So when you talk about this respect, how it's for your own benefit, I'm telling you, you're unloading groceries, you say, man, honey, I just love watching you pick that milk up. When you bend over that trunk and, man, you're killing me, right? Your guy's going to do it, buddy. He's going to do it, all right? So just be ready for that. That's you. Is it manipulation? I don't know, but we like it, frankly. We like it. We're willingly going along for that ride, all right? But we understand this, that your respect for your husband is empowering the man that God has given you. Let's break that down just a little bit. In the book, Love and Respect, anybody here read that book? A few of you. Okay, man, you guys got to read this book. This is incredible. In the book, Love and Respect, he breaks this down just a little bit. Next week, we're going to be looking at the love for men. This week, we're going to be looking at the respect for women. What does this do? In the book, Love and Respect, Emerson Eggers talks about this. He said, respect is understanding his desire to work and achieve. A man wants to do something. All you women, you're always complaining about how terrible patients we are. When we get sick, it's horrible being with him. Well, you know why? Because we want to be doing something. We don't want to be laying up in bed. This is boring. I don't like soap operas and bonbons, okay? I want to do something. And so it's driving us bonkers. You got to recognize that a man wants to go out and he wants to produce. He wants to do something. And sometimes that means taking a risk for a man because sometimes what he's in isn't really helping him meet his levels of achievement that he wants. Because we don't just want to do a dead-end job. We want to do something that brings us fulfillment. And so we made dreams that, man, you know, I thought about doing this and I thought about doing that, which terrifies you as women because you like security. You like things being a constant for the most part, right? You love that security. And so your husband thinking about branching out and doing something completely different terrifies you. But respect means understanding that. Okay, God has wired my man to do something for achievement, for fulfillment. That's how God has made him. As a woman, you need to understand that. As a woman, you need to understand his desire to protect and provide. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but many of us, if you're a guy, there's many of us who, when we go to a restaurant, are we sitting with our back to the door or are we sitting facing the door? Well, we sit facing the door. I love being the pastor because my back would be to the door here every Sunday. That'd be driving me bonkers, right? Because we sit facing the door. Why do we do that? Because we want to know who's coming in. We want to know, is there a threat coming in the door? That's what we do. We as men, and Rachel will tell you that I'm that way. I want to face the door. Many men are that way as well because they desire to protect. They also have the desire to provide. They want to make sure that the needs are met. And so when their wife comes to them and says, look, I'm not really happy with what I've got here. Even if it's enough, if they want more, what's a man do? Well, I'm going to try to work for that. And then you're upset because he's not home all the time. And he's in a no-win situation because he wants to provide not just your needs but your wants. And so he goes out to work to do that, but then you're upset because he's not at home. Respect is understanding that, yep, you know what? He wants to protect. He wants to provide. So if I mention something to him, he's going to do his absolute best to make sure that happens, if it's something, especially something tangible like that. You say, well, you don't provide my emotional needs very well. Well, a guy, that's not tangible, okay? You got to understand the difference in men and women. You got to understand that. We're going to talk some more about this, but just understanding our differences gives us a different perspective and helps us. As one person said, well, there's a story. I wasn't going to share it, but I'm going to share it anyway. We're going to go a little long today. Forgive me. I forgive me. You can forgive me. All right. This is a true story that happened. I read about it in one of my books. The author was telling about the story, how he was riding a bus in the city. True story. And there was a father and three kids. And the kids were just terrorizing the bus. The father was staring out the window. And he said everybody in the bus was just, they were just amazed at what these children were doing, climbing over the seats, just messing with each other, messing with other people. So it was very disruptive. I was sitting close to the seat. So I'm kind of turning around, and other people are just kind of staring at me, you know, going the sign, right? He's like, why me, okay? So I went up to the father and said, look, you know, I don't know what's going on. You're staring out the window, but could you maybe pay attention to your kids a little bit? They're really being a disruption. And it's like he snapped out of a day. He's like, oh, man, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Just this morning, my wife, their mother, died in the hospital this morning. She just died this morning. And we just found out, and we're trying to figure out how we're going to adjust to this. And the children, they're not even sure how to respond to this whole thing.
And the author of the book that I was reading, he said, when I heard that from the husband, he said, my heart just sank. And he said, as I looked around those children terrorizing the bus, they still did the same thing, but my heart was completely different toward them. He said, nothing changed, and yet everything changed because I gained perspective. And in our marriages, sometimes that's what we need. We just need a different perspective where sometimes nothing will change, and at the same time, everything changes because we gain a different perspective. That's what I'm trying to give you guys today, is just a different perspective. This week, a different perspective for the wives. Next week, a different perspective for the husbands, to help us understand. Because God made us different, not wrong, but different. It's okay to be different. And a man, he wants to protect. He wants to provide. You may not understand that. That's how God made him. And as a man, for us to say, how do I meet my wife's emotional needs? What does it even look like? Right? It's like the joke, what's non-sexual touch and why should I want it? I don't understand. You guys can laugh. Hello. All right, moving on. So diving into this a little bit, perspective is a huge thing. So understanding his desire to serve and to lead. The man wants to do some fun things for you. He wants you to be impressed with him. That's what he wants. Again, it goes back to respect. But when a wife, when she makes her husband feel like she is impressed with him, that's a huge thing. When he does something that's just, even something small, and she says, man, that was great. Thank you for doing that. Grabbing hold of the bicep, giving the grain of squeezing, right? You're inflating your husband. That's what you're doing. You're inflating your husband because he has a desire to serve you. He has a desire to lead you. He doesn't know how. And oftentimes, he'll just sit there, and you'll be willing to take over that position. And we see in Genesis 3 where that came from, that desire that came from. That desire to lead as a woman, that came through that. But a strong woman recognizes, wait a minute, God's role for my man is to lead me. And I need to take a step back and let my man lead. That's the role. All right. Respect is understanding his desire to analyze and counsel. And I've heard this kind of drives you all bonkers because you have a problem. You go to your husband and say, hey, you know, I just need to talk about this. What's the first thing he does? Well, let's solve the problem. I don't want to solve the problem. I just want to talk about the problem, right? That's what I hear from you as women. But a man's going to fix it, right? Give me duct tape and baling wire and I'm going to fix it. Whatever it is, I'm going to fix it. So on Monday, you come to your husband and say, I was at work today and this happened. And he said, okay, here's how we're going to fix it. On Tuesday, you come back and say, well, here's what happened at work. Well, didn't I tell you yesterday? Well, yeah. Well, did you do anything? Well, no. Well, why not? Well, I just wanted to talk about it. Well, why didn't you say so? Okay? So, men, we got to learn to ask a question. Wait, do you want me to listen or do you want me to fix? Because I'm going to naturally go to fix. And for a woman, when your man goes to a fix, you say, okay, that's how God made him. He fixes things. Sometimes we're using weird tools and maybe not the way that I wanted him to, but that's what a man does. So he's going to analyze the situation. He's going to give you counseling, which is why, frankly, when you think about directions, okay, why do men not want to do directions? Because they don't want to be analyzed by another guy. We hate being analyzed by another guy. So we're going to figure this out on our own. And it drives you guys bonkers, but what are we doing? We're analyzing the situation. We're going to fix the problem. We got this. Don't tell me I don't know where I'm at. Even in the middle of the cemetery and I'm stuck, don't tell me I don't know where I am. I knew it was a dead-end road, pun intended. Okay, moving on. Respect is understanding his desire for shoulder-to-shoulder friendship. Now, this is something, practically speaking. Let's give this example for just a minute, all right? When you go to a restaurant, when I see a husband and wife go to a restaurant, where are they sitting at in a restaurant? The guy's, again, facing the door. The wife's across from him talking, right? You want to inflate your husband? You slide in that seat next to the door, and you pat the seat next to you. And invite him to sit right next to you. As a guy, sit there and think about that right now. If you were a husband and your wife patted the seat next to her, what's that going to do for you? I'm seeing chest expand, right? Yeah, this would be all right. I could handle that, right? Men love shoulder to shoulder. Next week, we're going to talk about how women love face to face. Women want to be talked, they want to talk to your face. Where men, you know what, you get a group of guys together, we're sitting there talking, we're always turned a little bit. We're not turned directly toward each other, unless it's an intense conversation. For the most part, we may be facing the same direction. But I'm talking to this guy right here. My brothers, we get together for family reunions, there's a row of chairs. We're all facing the same direction, but having a great conversation. Because we're shoulder to shoulder. And for wives, understand that and feed that on occasion. All right? A man wants you to be out there with him. Egrich talks about this. He said this when he was a kid growing up, there was a husband and wife couple in the neighborhood who the guy was always working on the car every weekend. But his wife was always out there in a lawn chair just sitting there. She wasn't doing this. She was just watching him. Women, let me tell you, when you're out there with your husband and you say, hey, I just want to go out there and just watch you do whatever it is you're doing, Oh, that's a big thing. Emerson said this was so big for that guy. He was holding the transmission up with one hand and bolting it on with the other hand, right? Kind of grinning at his wife over here. Because she was just watching him. She was with him. So wives, we understand that sometimes our man wants us to be with him. In a tree stand, on a fishing boat, and you think, I've got so much other stuff to do. Why would I want to do that? And I say, you want to do that because that's the man that God gave you. That's the man that God gave you. And sometime the kids will be gone. And you're going to turn, you're going to look at this person, and you're going to say, do I know you? Or you're going to say, I think we're alone now. And grin. What is it you want? I say that empty nesting is either your punishment or your reward for what you've done up to that point. That's what empty nesting is. And for you guys as women, I know kids take time. They do. And I'm not saying do this all the time, but there are times when your man needs you. Respecting is understanding that. As sometimes he just wants you to be with him. Respecting is understanding his desire for sexual intimacy. I know we're in a mixed crowd today. We're not going to dwell on this, but we're wired different. We are. You know that. There's three words I'm going to use. You can write these down. When it comes to this desire, Robert Lewis said this. He said, every man wishes his wife understood the fact that a man's desire is persistent, a man's desire is powerful, and a man's desire is, you're going to hate this word, normal. It's persistent for a man. In other words, it doesn't go away, right? Get some nods this way. Are you kidding me? Okay, it's powerful. Yep, seen that too. But it's normal. It's persistent. It's powerful. And women, it is normal. There is nothing wrong with him. As much as you like to think so, there is nothing wrong with him in this area. It's just different. And so for a woman, can you understand and respect that that is different? He's not broken. You can't fix it. As the 80-year-old man was asked by this young guy, he said, you know, does this desire ever stop? And the 80-year-old guy said, I'll let you know. All right? We understand. This is the way that God wired us. And a great wife is going to understand that. It is persistent. It is powerful. It is completely normal. Well, so what? What do we do with this? Well, we're going to break this thing down. Women, your primary role is a role of a helper. And Ephesians lists two ways you can accomplish that role. You submit to help your husband lead, and you respect to help your husband love. That's what women do. The man is the leader of the house. Well, you can't have two equal partners. It's all about equality. Did you ever think about this? What was the pull in the Garden of Eden for Eve? Satan told her, don't you want to be like God? Equality for a woman has been a problem since day one. That desire for equality, and it's still valid in marriages today. They want to be equal with their husbands. They want to be the same. You know what? We're not the same, and it's okay to not be the same. You have just as important of a role as your husband does. Your role is not less important. It's just as important. But your role looks different. Equality is a big thing. And so understanding here that for just a moment, it's okay to not be equal. It's okay. God didn't make you equal. And in fact, when you look at the role of a woman and the people that you are serving with, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in many ways, your role is greater than a husband's role. In many ways. That's the power of a woman. But God made you as a helper, and he wants you to submit to help your husband lead, because he doesn't do that naturally. He doesn't do that well naturally. And so God brought you alongside to help him in that role. And then as you respect your husband, as you inflate him, as you grab hold of his bicep and squeeze and grin, your husband is going to respond in love like you can never imagine. The story is told of the woman who, she heard these principles for the first time after reading this Love and Respect, and she wrote Dr. Emerson Eggerich about it. She said, so I came home, and I said, okay. She said, I'm going to be able to do this. She said, so I sat down, I thought through some things. When my husband came home from work, said, I told him, I said, you know what, honey, I just want you to know that today I was thinking about this, and I respect you for some of the things that you do. I just really respect you. And then she turned to walk to leave the room. But before she got three steps, he called her and said, whoa, 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 come back. What do you respect me for? And so she turned, she had the answer. She said, well, here's the things that you do that I just respect you so much for these things that you do. And he said there with a half grin on his face, he said, you know what, honey, this is awesome. Let's go out to eat tonight. Well, they couldn't go out to eat because the kids had different things. She said, so we were talking about that, but she said, A few minutes later, he's in the kitchen cooking, and this is a man who doesn't know one side of the pot from another, and he's trying to cook. It terrified me, all right? But the very next day, okay, he calls me up, and he wants to do this amazing thing where he wants us to go on a vacation. We haven't vacationed together in years. He wants to go on a vacation. She said, "Emerson, give me some more things. I might get a cruise out of this." That is the response of a man when his woman respects him. So in the middle voice, in that Greek middle voice, where it says you do this for your own benefit, the Bible is correct. You're doing it for your own benefit. It's not for your man, it's for you. You want your man to love you? Then you turn on that respect, and it'll be amazing what you can do. The divorce lawyer, true story, the divorce lawyer who's met a Christian woman came in. She said, "Look, we've been married for, I don't remember how many years it was." She said, "I cannot stand my husband. She said, I want to hurt him so bad, I can't even, just can't stand to be around him. I want to divorce him, but is there something I can do that's really going to hurt him?" He said, "Yeah, absolutely." He said, "For the next 2 months, I want you to bend over backwards to make his life as great as possible. You do whatever you can to make his life as good as possible. Then you come back. We'll set an appointment. You come back in 2 months." So she did. She came back in 2 months. And he said, "Well, do you want to file for divorce?" She said, "Are you kidding me? I married the best man in the world." Because the way she treated him turned him completely around and changed him. That is being a helper. And that is a role of a woman, and it's a God-given high role. And you should be proud of that role. And men, you should be proud of the woman that God has given you, because she's a great woman. And God designed her that way. And it's a wonderful thing. And number two, men, you cannot demand any of these things from your wife. You have no right to do that. Biblically, you don't. The middle voice is something she does for herself. The passive voice is something that comes out of a response. So men, I'm just telling you, you have no right to demand. God has given you a helper. In the end, both of you must show grace. We've been talking about Ephesians. It's all about grace. By grace, we've been saved. By grace, we've received every heavenly blessings. All these things that happen by grace. And grace is alive and well in marriages today. And it needs to be. In your marriage, you're going to have to show grace. And some days, you don't want to. I get it. I'm married too, right? And we'll tell you right now, sometimes it's not always. We were down at Linda's house the other day. She said, "I hate it when the kids are fighting," right? We were just having one of those moments. And so right there on Linda's couch, we had it out, so to speak, because we needed to. That's marriage. And sometimes you guys need to have it out. And if you can't do it, just two of you, then bring somebody else in, and that's okay. Will you recognize your role? Men, next week we're talking to you. It's going to be hard. We're going to talk to you next week. But I hope this is giving you a different perspective on this whole submission and respect thing, as we understand the difference that grace can make in a marriage. God, we're coming to you today, and we're praising you for marriage, but God, especially for women. You designed them to be helpers for us as men, and we as men definitely need help. And Father, I'm asking you to forgive me for those times in my own life when I've refused the help from my spouse, from my partner, from my helpmeet. And sometimes I admit that sometimes I see it as nagging when she reminds me over and over and over and over again to do something, and I'm saying, "Quit nagging me," when in reality, what's she doing? She's helping. She's helping me. That's her way of helping. God, help me to see it for what it is. And help the wives of this congregation to be able to have a greater appreciation for their husband, their need to lead and to be empowered to lead, and their need to be respected. And God, I pray that you'd help marriages. Help us to have a church where we're just madly in love, not just with you, but with each other. And God, I pray for that. We thank you for this time we had today studying your word. In Jesus' name, amen.